Hey, Chicago, what do you say? It's the CHGO Cubs podcast presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook. Make sure you download the app and use the promo code CHGO when you sign up. Happy Wednesday. Big show Wednesday, we like to call it here. 8 days away are Andre Dawson days, Michael Barrett days away from opening day. Yep. Luke Stuckmeyer, Ryan Herrera, Cody Delmendo, and to the left side, the one and only Sierra Santos, as we like to say here in Chicago, from MLB Network. My old buddy Sierra, how you doing?
I'm doing surprisingly well, considering we played a WBC watch party drinking game last night.
Oh, no.
It either took shots. No. Here was the game. A hit, you sip. If Shohei and Trout faced off, you had to finish your full drink. Uh-huh. A shot of Japanese whiskey for every Team Japan home run. And a shot of American whiskey for every Team USA home run.
Oh, wow.
So that's brutal. I feel great today, guys.
At least you've had practice. At least you've had practice, you know. It's not like someone like me walking in there and just being like, all right, give me a shot, and I'd be on the floor.
At least it wasn't Malort.
Yeah, either. No. Yeah.
Sierra can handle it.
Absolutely. No, I can definitely handle it. Like, I feel like my training wheels came off when I was in Chicago. That's where I really learned how to drink.
Were you ever a Malort person here?
No.
Yeah, say no. Say no.
No. No. And people who say they like Malort or actually enjoy drinking Malort, they're lying. Yeah,
that's right.
Or they're psychopaths.
It is not good.
It's not. No.
They're psychopaths, too.
No, they're just saying that to be hipsters and cool.
See, one thing you're going to find out real quickly about Sierra is that she's a straight shooter.
No nonsense.
Straight shooter. We have that in common. When I first met Sierra at NBC Sports Chicago, I think she told me right away, we were talking about friends. She's like, oh, I don't like to be friends with nice people. They're boring. And I was like, oh, boy, how are we going to get along? You know, two years later, I was like, actually, she's the same person. We're like the same person. She's the female version of me. She's a straight shooter. So if you want to know the real story, you ask Sierra, and she will give you the straight story, whether you want to hear it or not. And that's one of the things I love about her.
That's probably why we don't have any friends, Luke.
So now you're at MLB Network, and you're a big star, and you're international, and you're a celebrity, and all these things.
I don't know
things.
About that.
Okay.
Let's pump the brakes.
She's the new host of Intentional Talk. That is the longest-running show at MLB Network. The funny thing is that you're doing it with a Chicago twist, because Ryan Dempster is, of course, one of the hosts of the show. Kevin Millar, who was in 2010 at Cubs training camp, spring training invitee, the other guy, and they've known each other forever. And I've heard people talking about this, right, saying like, oh, okay, it's going to be Millar, and it's going to be Dempster, and Sierra is going to have to be the mediator, right? And I'm like, no. What you guys don't understand is if somebody's going to have to control somebody on this set, for the first time in his life, Ryan Dempster is going to have to be the straight guy on the story. Like, if anybody's going off the rails, it's going to be Millar and Sierra. It's not going to be Ryan Dempster.
You know, okay, so the thing is, I had never met Kevin Millar throughout my first year here at MLB Network, because he's at some freaking dude ranch in Texas or something like that. So he does his shows from home. And we had never gotten to meet. And so finally, I'm at the World Series. I was doing like a pregame show. And then I basically had the rest of the games off. So I was like, you know, sweet hopping, eating free food. And I was taking a car home, or not home, but back to the hotel. And like all these hosts are in the, you know, black Suburban and stuff like that. And I finally get to meet Kevin Millar. And within 5 minutes of that car ride, I was like, oh, this guy's off the rails. He is off the rails. I was like, I immediately loved him, because I finally met somebody who says the F word more than I do. And it was like I dig this guy. And he, like, for everything that I say that is completely unhinged, he's worse. And it's going to be chaos. It's going to be like a beautiful chaos. And I'm really excited for the show. It's different from other shows in the way that on Quick Pitch, I got to have fun and I got to be really creative, but this is more opinion and it's personality. And there's two things that all three of us love, and it's baseball and attention. So we are going to have a blast.
Are you ready for all the people that are going to clap back when they don't agree with you then?
I already deal with that. Oh. Some guy suggested the other day that I must be on the spectrum of autism, or on the autism spectrum, because I don't agree. I don't think his jokes are funny.
All right. Yeah. There you go.
And so I'm already. The thing is, I spent so much of my career early on trying to be somebody that everybody liked. And what I realized is that people still hated me because I was trying to be like the Susie broadcaster, right? Mm-hmm. That everyone loves and thinks is cute and fat and bubbly and stuff like that. But that's not my personality. And I had a huge paradigm shift in my career, actually, when I started hosting with Luke, because I realized I can be myself. And no, I'm serious. Dead ass. That's some New York slang right there. I felt like I could be myself and people would hate me, but at least people hated me for being me, not somebody I thought they wanted me to be. And I think that's when I really started to find myself on TV and be more of myself. And this is a great way to showcase how much I love baseball and what a big fan I am on Intentional Talk.
How easy was that kind of transition then from being trying to be someone that everyone liked versus like once you started realizing like you don't care and you want to be yourself? Like how did that transition go for you?
Well, it was Luke was always himself. So it didn't make sense for me to try to, and Luke is hilarious. So you guys already know that. Oh. And so it was great to be the risk. It was great to be the recipient of the joke. You know, Luke is funny, and I got to like laugh out loud, and it, like literally some shows I had tears in my eyes because I was laughing so hard. And I think that it's not easy when you're first starting out. You just want to be good and somebody who everyone likes, and then you realize, okay, well, people still don't like me or will find a reason not to like me. So I actually shot my new producer for Intentional Talk a text today, and I was like, can we do like a mean tweet segment? And he was like, absolutely, yes. So it's gonna be fun, and I'm ready for people to criticize me. It doesn't make the thing is, you're still watching. Mm-hmm. You hate me, but you're still watching. Yeah. So
Yeah,
I've been doing that for a long time. Daniel Cho in the live chat says, Luke has never had his ego stroked so much in one interview. That's true. Now, we used to do this. I mean, if you haven't heard of it, it was called The Rush. It was this Facebook live show. That was one of the shows we did. And at one point, they wanted to have a hot dog eating contest, and I was forced to be a Sox fan for a day. And we went to Guaranteed Rate, and Sierra's like, well, Luke's going to be in. And I'm like, no, I'm definitely not doing a hot dog eating contest. At 40 plus, you eat 25 hot dogs, something, you're going to be in the hospital is what's going to happen there. So she took on this guy. I think the guy won, but do you remember how many hot dogs you took down?
It was timed. It was 2 minutes. I maybe did like 2.5. It was a pitiful performance. But honestly, that was peak journalism right there.
Hot there. It was like 95 outside.
Just chowing down hot dogs.
Peak journalism.
Yeah.
It was peak journalism. Yeah.
Peak journalism.
Sierra, I try to tell these guys. And this is good advice. You can always tell Ryan Dempster this. Don't let the facts get in the way of a good story. That is my motto for everything.
F-A-X. F-A-X.
Don't let the facts get in the way of a good story. And so when I tell that story, I say Sierra Santos, she took down like 25 hot dogs in a 5-minute span. It was unbelievable. Easy. You should have seen it.
She was an absolute machine.
Yeah.
A turning point in my career. Absolutely.
So we thought, you know, I said, well, let's get Sierra on. We've been trying to get her on for a while. It's right before the show debuts when? The 31st?
Yeah, the first Friday of the season.
Okay, Friday. So it's coming up. The first show. I'm sure you guys are going through rehearsals.
Mon-Pierre days away from the debut of that Mon-Pierre's, show.
Mon-Pierre's, yeah. Well, that was, yes, from the debut of that show.
Debut.
What have the rehearsals been like for this show, and how can we, through you, get more Cubs talk? Because we would like to see it have a Cubs swing to it every day.
I think Demp is going to take care of that. Absolutely. He's a massive homer. So there's going to be a lot of good banter, especially because White Sox fans still support me more than any other fan base. So obviously I'm going to have to rep them. So there's going to be a lot of good banter. And I feel like Demp is definitely going to bring in that Chicago love as much as I will. And the rehearsals have been good. They've been crazy. Like, and I think that when we did our first one, because I've never met Demp in person. Mm-hmm. It was my first time talking to him, and we're doing a rehearsal like live, like it's a live show. And I was shocked by how well like the banter was flowing. Plus it's kind of hard because we're all in three separate locations. So I'm in studio in our MLB Network studios. Demp is going to be in Chicago. And Millar is in Texas. So it's difficult, I think, more or less, like the technicality aspects of it is the hardest part of the show. But the conversation was flowing. I think we started off our show by talking about Ice Spice, which I didn't think, you guys know who Ice Spice is, right?
Don't, but I know who Bad Bunny is because of Sierra. That's how the song starts. Bad Bunny. Oh, remember that? Yeah.
Somebody turn Luke on to Ice Spice.
I don't know what that is. Is that cologne? Ice Spice. What is that?
I'm not going to lie. I don't know what that is either.
Oh, wow.
See? Me neither. What? To be honest. Yeah.
And hands up.
I'm so old that they call me Grandpa Stucky on this show. And here, that's how old I am at this place. Ice Spice?
So Millar and Ryan Dempster are both officially hipper than everyone on your set right now because they knew exactly who Ice Spice was.
They got cash. Makes them hip right out of the gate.
She's a rapper.
Ice Spice.
You've never heard that song, Munch?
No.
It's like a mix of Vanilla Ice and Spice Girls.
I still don't know that I've ever heard a Bad Bunny song, but she was going to Bad Bunny concerts like they were going out of style when she was in Chicago. And I was like, who? Bad Bunny?
No, I went to the Bad Bunny show here at Yankee Stadium. That was actually my first time ever at Yankee Stadium. It wasn't even for a game. It was for Bad Bunny. So nevertheless, clearly Kevin Millar and Ryan Dempster are cooler than you guys because they know who Ice Spice is. But we started off the conversation talking about that. And so I just realized that it's going to be really chaotic and it's going to be really fun. But my goal is for it to be the most entertaining show on the network. And I want people to laugh. I want people to have a good time. And I also want it to be a space where players feel comfortable coming on, having interviews, and having a good time. Not necessarily asking, the day-to-day minutia of baseball, but getting to know them as people and getting them to also join in on the joke.
One thing I don't know if everybody knows your background, but tell us how you fell in love with baseball, because I was thinking that last night as I'm sitting there watching the World Baseball Classic, and I'll be honest, I was one of the people who, when it started, was kind of like, whatever, I'm not watching any of these games. And by the end, I was at the edge of my seat watching Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani, and I was like, all right, I'm all in. I'm all in on this. And I think around the world, it probably drew in a bunch of fans, especially internationally, last night. So how did you get into baseball as big as you are right now?
Well, I can tell you, I wasn't on the edge of my seat. I was on the floor by the time I had to finish my full drink for Shohei against Trout. So I was a bad kid, and long story short, I had gone to a like bad girl boot camp and I was basically grounded after that. And it was summertime. And the only thing that really, I was a casual Diamondbacks fan. I had actually gone to game 7 of the World Series, and I would get up every morning because my parents didn't let me slip in, and I'd have my morning coffee with my dad. I'd read the sports page. And every day I would watch Diamondbacks games because it was the one thing that was on consistently every single day that was different, right? And so I'd track the stats of where the D-backs were, how they were playing. And that is when I really fell in love with sports and reporting. And then the Sun season came along and I begged my dad to get season tickets. And he was like, nah, they're too expensive. We can't do that. But we did go to a couple games here and there. And then when the next season came around, mind you, this is the Amari Stoudemire, Steve Nash, Sean Marion era. And next season comes around, my dad breaks down, we get a half season package, which was, every single one of those games was sold out. So it was pricey. And through that first half of the season, I was like, I want to go to games for the rest of my life. And that's when I decided to go to community college because I didn't have a high school diploma. I had a GED and I got enough credits to go to community college. And then I went to Arizona State and that's where I graduated in drinking.
There it is. And now she's hosting Intentional Talk.
Yeah.
On MLB Network, after Quick Pitch. Okay, a couple quick Cubs questions, all right?
Okay.
Do you think they can make the playoffs?
Yes.
After this offseason, can they make the playoffs?
Say it again.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's zero hesitation in that. I was just having this conversation last night about the division. And, I mean, the Cardinals didn't really do anything to improve, right? And when you're talking about the bottom feeders, they won't necessarily be able to, like, feast on them as much as they were in seasons past because of the schedule changing. But with all those new additions, you have to think they are so much better defensively that you have to have some type of promise. Okay, so you've got pitching that hits into weak contact. That's okay because you got a guy like freaking Dansby Swanson, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think they could be the best defensive team in baseball. I think that's maybe a little bold, but they've got a combined 9 gold gloves between all the guys on the team now. So that's pretty good. And defensively up the middle, they're really good. I also wonder, like, how the new rules are going to play. I saw there were some adjustments today. Of all the new rules, which one do you like the most? For me, it's the pitch clock because I don't have time. The one thing I don't have is time. So
he's 51, that's true. If he's 51 years old.
If the games are 25 minutes shorter, amen.
Okay, so when first day of spring training, when I saw that pitch timer, I sent out a flurry of tweets. If the pitch timer were on Tinder, I would be swiping right all day long, every day. I love it. I want to shoot my shot with the pitch timer. I love it so much. It speeds up the game. When you guys were watching that, the World Baseball Classic, it felt slow, right or no? Mm-hmm.
Yes,
definitely a little bit.
It did, yeah.
It felt really slow.
It felt slow. So I love the pitch timer. I love the pitch clock. I think it brings an urgency to the game. It feels like almost like when you're watching a football game and you're mm-hmm. waiting for the football to be snapped. There's that type of urgency. It's a little bit of anxiety. And I understand why people are like, oh, no, it like gives me anxiety. That's the point. It's making it more exciting. So I love the pitch timer.
All right.
Are you of one of the supporters that say the pitch clock is great? Obviously, I think we all like it. But in the playoffs, like you mentioned the WBC, even though those games felt longer, it still felt like a lot of, you know, it was suspenseful in between every pitch, regardless of like that Trout Ohtani at bat. I think every single pitch would have been a pitch clock violation. Are you a supporter of potentially not having the pitch clock or changing it up in the playoffs to allow, you know, that kind of suspense to happen, to build?
Yeah, I've thought about that. These are things that I think about, you know, when I'm laying awake in bed at night. And
obviously.
I don't know. I think that if you have it during the regular season, you got to carry it over to the playoffs, even though yeah, we do want that high drama. We want the suspense. I just think that you can't eliminate a rule when it comes down to the postseason because there are teams who got there because they have pitchers who work efficiently.
Okay.
All right. Final question because I know you've got to go and tape some for MLB Network. The new bases look like pizza boxes. You've lived in Chicago, and you've lived on the East Coast now. So, Chicago pizza or New York pizza?
Ooh.
Sierra Santos. And what are you putting on that pie?
Like, are we talking deep dish or are we talking tavern style?
We're just saying squares. We're just cutting our pizza in squares.
The real Chicago style pizza.
If you want to make it deep dish, fine.
Yeah.
No, because I don't like deep dish. I don't like deep dish.
We'll go tavern style.
It's soupy. It's soupy. It's like a freaking casserole. I don't like it.
Okay.
I never have. I was only forced to eat deep dish whenever one of my friends who was a tourist was coming into town and I felt obligated to take them there. Tavern style or New York pizza. That's tough. I don't eat that much pizza because I have to fit into my clothes, but
same. Relatable.
I need to
come
back.
But come on, but be honest. No. That's what you do. If you're going to tell us, just tell us.
I don't know, because I haven't had a piece of pizza in New York where I've been like, this is to die for. That's right. So people in New York are going to skewer me for this, which go ahead, fine, I don't care. Then tell me your freaking recommendations because I don't know where to go. But I've had slices here and there at, 3:30 in the morning as I'm walking out of K-Town after doing a night of karaoke. And it's been solid, but it's also been like, after a long night.
That's right. All right.
When it just hits different. I like it.
So I'll go Chicago style.
Thank you. There we go.
Hell yeah.
That's all we had to say.
That's all we needed.
We don't mind it. If it's a lie, that's okay. We'll take the lie too.
Don't let the facts get in the way of a good story.
Don't let the facts get in the way of a good story. See, Cody's learning.
32 hot dogs right here.
That's right.
32
hot dogs. 32 minutes. It was unbelievable.
Someone asks me again later in 10 minutes, I'll be like 50.
It was 50. Yeah. That's right.
Definitely.
Sierra Santos. MLB Network, Intentional Talk, starting on the 31st. What time is it every day?
5 p.m. Eastern time. So 4 p.m. Central, 3 o'clock Pacific. There's such an East Coast bias, by the way. Like, why is everything always in East Coast time? Put it up for everybody.
That's right. Thank you. Finally, we have someone as our voice out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spread the word.
I hate that. Like, when on TV, it's like at 8 p.m. Eastern. I'm like, I don't know that time. I'm in Arizona or I'm in Los Angeles. What? Right. Like, do the math for me.
She's always somewhere. Every time I try to reach Sierra, she's off in Bali or she's in Arizona or she's at the Bad Bunny concert. And now, Intentional Talk. Ryan Dempster, Kevin Millar. Sierra, awesome catching up with you. Can we do it again during the season at some point?
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe we should get Demp to come on too.
Ooh, now there we're going off.
When you come,
we're talking.
If you make a trip to Chicago in the summer,
or yeah, if you're
best
here.
Summer city in the country, let's be real.
Oh yeah, summertime shy.
If you come to the city, come on in.
I actually have to go to Chicago because I have like Invisalign, and you know how you have those buttons on your teeth.
Yeah, I know all about it.
Talk about she's real? Like, what?
Sure.
I have to get these buttons taken off. So I'll be in Chicago. I'll see you guys soon.
All right.
There you go.
We'll have you in studio. We'll play ping pong, and we'll have some Malort for you to do shots of. Oh, no. She paused.
She said, never mind.
All right. Back to work. Thanks, Sierra.
Bye, guys.
See ya.
She's the greatest. The ComEd Energy Efficiency Program, committed to helping families and businesses in the communities we serve save money and energy. ComEd offers free facility assessments that can help find energy-saving opportunities, whether it's lighting, HVAC systems, commercial kitchen equipment, or industrial processes. An authorized engineer will work with you to develop a detailed assessment plan specific to your goals and needs. They can be done in person or virtually and last approximately 2 hours. Within 3 to 4 weeks, customers receive a report detailing energy efficiency projects that they can start working on right away. Each recommendation will include estimated energy savings, cost savings, project costs, potential incentives, and simple payback. Don't wait. Get started saving money and energy today. For energy saving tips and to schedule your free facility assessment, go to comed.com/poweringbiz. Ready to sign up for that facility assessment? Call them at 1-855-433-2700 during normal business hours to speak with a ComEd Energy Efficiency Program rep. Email businessee at comed.com or request an assessment online on our website at comed.com/facility assessment. Cody, tell us about DraftKings.
DraftKings, my favorite app that I wake up every morning, roll over on the other side of the bed, open up the app, and I think about how am I going to bet every single college basketball game for the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight this weekend. My girlfriend just told me she has to work. She's off today. She has to work tomorrow through next Wednesday. You know what that means? This weekend, it's just me, my couch, and every single NCAA tournament game. That is what the kids call I don't know, but incredible stuff.
Vibes.
So, vibes, yes. Anyway, so you on DraftKings, you can be like me and bet every single NCAA tournament game. We got NBA No Sweat Same Game Parlays. The Bulls are undefeated since Mark K came to the city. We have to strap him down and not let him leave.
Can't go home.
Straight up, if next time he's here, we're strapping him in and not letting him go home. We got MLB bets.
Might get arrested for that.
Like Sierra, I like the Cubs to win the division or make the playoffs, one of the two. You can get them at really good odds on DraftKings Sportsbook. Great stuff, guys. Download the app now. Sign up with code CHGO. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA with code CHGO. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
All right, so I forgot to ask Sierra, by the way, earlier when we were trying to get her on the show near the end of the season or the end of the summer, she was going to the debut of Marcus Stroman's new clothing line release party.
Okay.
And I guess that was off the rails, too.
Oh, wow.
That was also a party that was off the rails. So
I apologize.
We're gonna have to get the story on that.
I apologize to the people in the chat who missed the hat.
Yeah.
We missed the
Put
hat.
Your hat back on.
I get it. It's part of my vibe.
Love the hat.
But I got a haircut, and I kind of like it. I'm a big hair guy.
Showing off the hair.
Cody Del Hato.
I'm a big hair guy.
He's a big hair guy. So the World Baseball Classic, right? We get to see the matchup. We talked about it on yesterday's podcast, and we're like, okay, what if it came down to Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout?
I said that is literally the biggest piece of evidence I've ever seen that sports have a script. How?
Right.
How does that end up happening? It's Ohtani, Trout to end the World Baseball Classic.
John Morosi actually tweeted it like in the middle of the tournament, something like, well, the only way this whole tournament could end, it would be Trout against Shohei. And then it did. Mm-hmm. And then it went 3-2 and the game on the line. And one guy's pumping 100 and the other guy's just watching him paint corners. And I kept thinking, all right, this last pitch, 3-2, what's he going to do? And I think Trout was thinking what I was thinking. Trout was standing at the plate thinking, all right, I have to be ready for the fastball. And he's thinking in his head, all right, if he's been throwing 102 and he's my teammate and he wants the world to see what's going on here, he's going to want to challenge me with his heat right down the middle and be like, hit it. And so Trout was ready for it, and he hit him with an 87-mile-an-hour slider that looked like it was wiffle ball.
Yeah.
And it was
awesome. He did challenge him with the 100-mile-an-hour down the middle.
But not at 3-2.
Not at 3-2, though.
Not at 3-2.
It was nasty.
Trout would have been ready.
It was disgusting.
When you ask me, what was my favorite part of the World Baseball Classic? The end. The very end was my favorite part of the World Baseball Classic. As we've said here on multiple shows the last week and a half, it's not something that I've been super excited about or tuning into first thing, but I was tuned in for that game last night. That game was awesome from start to end, even though I was rooting for more runs because I took the over. But from start to end, that game was awesome. And then the very end, storybook or like Ryan said, scripted, Trout versus Ohtani. And
It
literally came down to them versing off with no one on. It got to a 3-2 count. Like, I wish that Mookie Betts didn't hit into that double play. That way there would have been a little bit more pressure on Ohtani, even though there was clearly plenty of pressure on him. It was a one-run game.
But he got Betts and Trout to end the game.
Yeah. That, like, I am fully all in. I know I'm not going to talk myself into believing that it's going to actually happen because Tom and Jed and Carter haven't proved that they're going to do it. But I am all in on giving Shohei Ohtani whatever he wants.
$500 million.
Whatever he wants to be a Chicago Cub. If he makes it to free agency, if the Angels are dumb enough to let him get to free agency, you give him whatever it takes to make him a Chicago Cub. Because one, he would, he's international, so he'll bring a whole fan base from people of Japan on top of, say, Suzuki already. And he's just already one of the more popular players around the league. You're going to make all that money back anyway. This, we've never seen anything like him. Nothing.
You're getting two MVP caliber players in one. We've talked about that
it
before.
It is insane.
You're getting an MVP
hitter
and an MVP pitcher all in one.
And I know what people are going to say. The doubters are going to say, well, the money's going to be too big for a guy that's going to be getting older. And how long is he going to... I don't care how long he does both. If he does both for 5 years of whatever that big contract is, cool. Sell Hotel Zachary for all I care.
Yes.
Give him a block on Addison. Whatever it takes to get him here. If and the problem with getting him here.
Give him Hotel Zachary.
Yes, that's right. Hotel Shohei is what they can call it.
There you go.
We can rename the whole thing. The problem with getting him here, the hardest part about getting him here will be that he definitely wants to play on the West Coast. Because it's closer to Japan, so when he's going home, it's a shorter commute. So, all right, we understand how he could get to the East Coast. Cohen would roll out $1 billion, you know, $300 million more than somebody else, and you'll be like, okay, well, that's going to be tough to pass up. So the Cubs, the only way the Cubs get him here is Seiya goes out and really sells him on the experience, which means, A, the Cubs have to be good this year, so Seiya can kind of really wax poetic about it. And he can see what it's all about, but he's a baseball fan, so he knows what it's about a little bit. And then we have to open up the Ricketts pocketbook bigger than Cohen.
Yeah.
We have to have been saving this money for the last few years, even though we paid a lot for Dansby and $300 million this year. They have to dig deep into the fortune and say, you know what? There's no price too much. Let's go get our guy.
Yeah.
Because he's the face of baseball. You could make it. He already is the face of baseball, but he could go from here to Michael Jordan level in sports, right? Like, I'm not saying success level. I'm just saying worldwide he could be that famous if he played for the Cubs.
Well, yeah. Do it. And the thing is, yeah, he's already a huge star, even in L.A., if you want to call it that, Anaheim. But, like, there's so many teams there, and the fact that they're not good, like, he would blow up even more here in Chicago. He would. I'm sorry. He's not going to blow up
bias there.
I knew Kalata would laugh at all of this.
I know Kalata hates all of this. He doesn't believe it. Believe me, I just said at the beginning that I'm not talking myself into it happening because they've never paid anyone more than over a $200 million contract over a course of however many years anyway. But all I'm saying is that the Cubs should do whatever it takes if he does actually get to free agency.
Except for, I don't want them to trade away the whole team and then sign him to the deal, because then you're giving up anything and you're starting over near the Angels.
Yeah.
And you have one guy coming up. So I don't want him to do that. But if he does indeed hit free agency, there should be no limit what they spend. No limit. What would you give up to have Shohei on the Cubs next season? As a Cubs fan, what would you be willing, besides the money, what would you be willing to get? Started throwing out in our Slack channel.
We won't reveal what you said.
Yeah, what you said in Slack last night, you just deserve to go to jail for a night.
You should join
Braggs and Zach Edey in jail.
Know that Corey wasn't happy with what Luke suggested. That's a good hint. That's a good hint as I can give you.
I try to tweak everybody. So for Brendan, I said I'd trade Nico.
Yeah.
I'd get rid of any history that involves John Lester on the Cubs that Corey jumped off. And I said, and Pat Hughes would have to retire. If those three things had to happen to get Shohei, I would say, sorry, Pat, it's been a wonderful Hall of Fame career at Beautiful Historic. And I threw in Arlington Park and Soldier Field and the Bean and whatever else you want to throw in.
Yeah.
Throw it in. Like I said, Hotel Zachary. Hotel Shohei. Bring it on.
You even said that We'd have to you'd
so guard at second.
You said fire Brossi and hire Yachty to be the manager, and I almost
well,
like,
that was just to get you mad.
I'm gonna read through it right now. He also said I'd let Jonathan VR play third base.
VR at third, Sogard at second.
You would trade Cody to St. Louis.
Yeah,
you did say that.
Well, that's the
again,
new version of CHGO in St. Louis would be the STLC.
You also tried trading guaranteed right field.
That's right.
I'm all right with that one.
Yeah.
That's the Sox fan, as our producer says.
We toss in United Center if we have to.
I threw in that Milton Bradley could play outfield again, too.
That's too much.
That's too much.
That's the one that's too much.
That's the one that's too much.
Well, is he still wearing 21? Because if he is, then, like, I'm just going to throw up a little bit beforehand.
I don't know. That's the most in love I've been with a baseball player in a long time. It was when I watched that at bat, and I was just like, he's going after – these are two of the greatest players in the history of baseball, and he's going after him with 100 and 102 –
yeah,
right down the middle, and just being like, that, hit it.
That was probably the, like, that moment was something that I just feel like I haven't seen in what we watch on an annual basis. I haven't felt anything like that. That one moment,
and
I haven't seen that in Major League Baseball in recent years, at least. And maybe I'm saying that because obviously Trout and Ohtani are on the same team, but, like, I mean.
And not in his
normal
role.
These are the two best players in the league.
Right? Not in his normal role. He comes in as the closer, something he doesn't do. And by the way, we're all worried about injuries. This kid, who's looking at a $600 million payday, rolls into the game, puts it all on the line, and pumps 102 and is like, bring it on. I don't care how many pitches it is.
Michael Colada said he'll put a Ricketts statue in his front yard. Now we know the show has gone off the rails.
We're talking about craziness.
Now, if it happens, then I'm holding Michael Colada to it. He's got to get a statue of Ricketts and put it right in the front lawn.
Wow. Fernando says, Cody, take one for the team. St. Louis might be cool for you.
It's never cool. It's no.
Would you move to St. Louis for the Cubs to sign Shohei Ohtani?
Then I wouldn't even get to enjoy him here.
But
You can do the shows remote.
It's only a 4-hour drive.
How long would you be willing to live there to get Shohei Ohtani?
The length of his contract?
No,
that's too long.
No,
that's way too long. Would you do 5 months?
Yeah, I'd do five.
A full season at least.
If I had to do one
five
full
months.
Okay, one yes. full season, I'd live in that shit town while we could all watch Shohei Ohtani with the Cubs. Credit to me, big of me to be willing to do that. But as soon as that
he's not willing
up,
to go for the whole contract.
Would you be willing to tell the Cubs and Tom Ricketts that you would wear a Yadier Molina jersey for 365 straight days without Washington.
Yeah, taking it off.
If they sign Ohtani.
Yeah.
Yeah,
fine.
See? See, I mean, that is that good.
Big of me.
That good.
I'm a man of integrity, guys. Integrity.
Clip that
biggest,
off.
Biggest,
yeah, I'm going to clip
biggest
it
man of integrity in this
and
office.
It seem like he's just the biggest Yachty fan.
I'm just, you're making me very sick, but I would do it. Whatever it takes to get Shohei Ohtani.
And
I guess the only thing I wouldn't do is, like, if they tried to sponsor, like, Wrigley Field, like, take Wrigley out of the ballpark. I couldn't do that.
Fair. Change the name of Wrigley Field?
Change the name, yeah. I couldn't do that. No. No.
What is
as much
Ohtani
as I would
field?
Love Shohei
you
Ohtani.
You wouldn't move the Cubs to Arlington Park.
No. They got to stay
for Shohei
there.
Ohtani.
And it has to be Wrigley Field forever. Like,
what do they name that Ohtani Field?
After they win the World Series.
Okay.
Wrigley Field at Ohtani Park.
Yeah, there you go.
then maybe. Then we'll think about it.
Oh, God.
The other part that was unbelievable was that it was close because Kyle Schwarber had this unbelievable 10-pitch at-bat against Yu Darvish.
He had like five home runs in that at-bat. It just only one went fair.
Did you see that there were some tweets out there last night about Kyle Schwarber has done this, hit a home run in, and it was like bing, 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 bing. Like
every possible level you could probably hit a
everything
home run.
In college you could possibly do, everything in baseball you could possibly do. And all I tweeted was when he hit it, and he got away for nothing, which still irks me. And then I get all the response, hey, he was hitting .198, and he couldn't stop. I'm saying they got nothing for him. I'm not saying that it was the wrong decision. If they wanted to decide, clearly it was the wrong decision that they picked the wrong guy to just let walk away. Mm-hmm. The fact that they got nothing back is criminal.
I will say that Schwarber himself has talked about how that was kind of like the kick in the ass that he needed, because it was a bad season from him. He hit .188. Like, it was
60 games.
But even then, it's like in 60 games, a guy who should be one of your better hitters should be better than 188 anyway.
I love him too. I love Schwarber.
He has said that that's just kind of the kick in the ass he needed to wake up, and to his credit, he has. Like,
yes.
Back-to-back All-Star games, World Baseball Classic, he was awesome. Like, to his credit, he has woken up since then. But I will agree that $10 million for...
What a deal.
One more year. Coming off a COVID year wanting to give him one more year, $10 million.
Any credits, he credits the hitting coach that the Nationals had at the time, blah, blah, blah. I get it. But I'm with Luke. Like, you can't let a guy like that just...
Well, if it's $10 million, that's not...
It's always going to, me, to me and most Cubs fans, it's always going to look like a salary dump. That's all it's ever going to look like, and that's what bothers me the most about it, because the Cubs should not be doing salary dumps. Sorry, Tom.
Didn't he lead the NL in home runs last year?
I think the last.
Yes, he did. What's the biggest? I failed to bet it, even though I predicted it.
What's the biggest narrative surrounding the Cubs' potential offseason flaw?
Enough left-handed power.
There it is.
Yeah, and they have a DH, which they should have seen coming because they're the smartest people in baseball.
And I'm tired of hearing people tell me, but they basically got Bryce Ball for him because they signed Jock Peterson after they let him go, and then they traded Jock Peterson for Bryce Ball. I don't care. If Bryce Ball comes up and is hitting 40 bombs, I'll apologize. But like, you think that's gonna actually happen? Like, give me a break. We've done this enough. Like, I'm it sucks. It's always going to suck.
Also because he's just cool. He's got that.
Yeah. He's a vibe.
I couldn't have said it better. Yeah. He's a vibe. It is. That's the first time I really thought, you know what? You're right. He is a vibe. Otani's a vibe. Schwarber's
like,
a vibe.
He's like the perfect Midwest guy. I mean, he went to Indiana, right? So, like, he has that, like, mm-hmm. hard hat mentality.
Yeah, you don't hold that against him, I know.
No.
Okay, just making sure.
I don't know.
Yeah, I know. Illini bias. Braggs is gone.
And also, it's more about basketball. I could care less about baseball.
College baseball.
Except the Harvard of the Midwest, Eastern Illinois is pretty good.
I did just bet Mizzou to beat Kansas today in baseball.
Real quick news. Seiya Suzuki most likely will stay in Arizona, and he was taking some sort of batting practice today, right? He's taking swings.
I believe that was the – like, he's been kind of ramping up as far as, like, dry swings, which Cody still doesn't understand,
And you know what backflips were either yesterday, so.
But yeah, I think
touch the pillows.
This is from, let me find it, from Jordan Bastian. MLB.com. This is from Kyle Hendricks. I don't know. Yes.
Kyle Hendricks, Suzuki three is, more bullpens till he goes live,
so
BP.
So that's the one. I can't find the Seiya one, but yes.
Seiya was taking swings.
He's taking swings, and he's running the bases, not at full kind of speed, not at 100%, but he's going to touch the pillows?
Touch the pillows, according to Ross.
Yeah, Cody doesn't understand what that means, or didn't understand what that meant either.
They don't look like pillows anymore. It's touch the pizza
boxes.
Touch the mattresses or something. So that's Seiya getting some kind of BP-type stuff, and you think about what it's been. Has it been a month yet? Maybe 3 weeks or so since that oblique? Kept
gotta
him out.
Be right.
Yeah,
about that.
It was like late.
It was right.
It was
before,
like late February. Right?
It was right before he would have left for the World Baseball Classic. Yeah. So it's getting towards about a month or so. So this is a good sign as far as where he's at. Again, obliques are tricky. You don't any little tweak can kind of set you back a little bit. So the Cubs are going to play it slow for him, of course. But him being able to take full-on swings at this point is like a good sign as far as just the recovery is going well, and he is getting closer to an actual return. Not going to be opening day, but if it's less than a month, like that's feels like a good scenario
to me. You let the White Sox be a great example of this, because Mankata had the same issue last year and he was hurt all year and he wasn't good. Just take it easy. Like, my timeline is May. That's where I would hope that he's good to go is May. As much as I would love to see him, you know, a couple weeks after opening day or whatever, this is a lingering injury. So like just take your time. It's like Ryan said, it's a good sign that he's doing stuff and he's, you know, doing whatever, but also at the same time he didn't play any spring training games, didn't play in the World Baseball Classic. So if he gets to a point to where he can start playing in some games, let him play some games in Iowa or whatever, and then come back. I do not want him rushed back, because he is a crucial part of this team if they're going to be good.
Sound the siren, Steven. Sound the siren, the super chat siren.
Yeah, so phone.
There it is. Look. Wow. First of all, hashtag Mike 50. Dubs. 43 more days of Mike Dubs for his $50 super chat. Now I have to do a Gerard for 50 days of Gerard. I get, I'm honored to do 50 days of Gerard super chat. $50. Thanks, guys, for making being a Cubs fan so fun with CHGO Cubs.
That's the first. That's the first time we've ever seen him.
Right,
Gerard. Thank you, man. Appreciate you.
Mm. Whoever Gerard is, I'll say your name for the next 50 days.
That is the London fund right there.
Yeah, going straight to London, baby.
Dubs and Gerard.
And also, I think it's 42 days for Mike Dubs, but whatever.
42 days.
We can add an extra day if you want.
Tomorrow will be 49 days for Gerard. We have to remember 49 days for Gerard. Hashtag.
You too, if you're listening, can become a part of this list if you send $50 super chats.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to
just a real quick finish those updates. Yeah. From the horse's mouth. This is from Jordan Bastian. Cubs manager David Ross noted that right fielder Seiya Suzuki will advance to normal BP hitting in the cage today, moving up from soft toss drills, light base running as well, or as Ross puts it, Suzuki will touch the pillows. And then for Hendricks, again from Jordan Bastian, Cubs pitcher Kyle Hendricks says this morning he has 3 bullpen sessions remaining until he advances to live BP phase of the schedule. Says he feels like he's in normal spring training mode right now as opposed to a rehab. Figure he's about a month behind. We kind of talked about it off the air, but maybe an early to mid-May return if things go well. That gives some of the other starters we're talking about for that fifth starter role more time to show what they could do. But it also allows Kyle to kind of go at his own pace and still, as long as he's healthy and pitching well, pitch for most of the year.
We just wait. Meanwhile, Gerard just sits there.
Yep. Passing out the money.
Throwing 50s in the air. All right. We got to get to some more business, and then we're going to break down shortstop in the NL Central. Where do the Cubs rank? First, Cody, your DraftKings pick of the week.
Oh, give me Kansas State money line against Michigan State tomorrow. I hate betting against the Big Ten, but I think Michigan State's run is done tomorrow. I think they got – not that they didn't get lucky or anything like that, but they did get farther than many people expected. And they got matched up well with USC in the first round. And then Marquette, they matched up well with them. And they basically played Marquette at the pace that they want to. I think Kansas State matches up well with Michigan State.
So no Big Ten teams in the Elite Eight?
I don't think so.
Wow.
Yeah. So give me a Kansas State money line plus 115 against the Spartans. I'm sure Tom Izzo's magic will come back to haunt me. Bet responsibly.
Daniel, yes, that super chat was for everybody because everybody is CHGO. It's not just 3 people. It's not 4 people. It's all of us.
Just you don't get the money. we get the money.
Chicago, you've already got the best coverage for your favorite team, so get fitted out in the best sports gear around. Foco's got you covered from Soldier Field to the living room, north side, south side, hoodie, slipper, signs, bobbleheads, everything in between. Get decked out like DeMar with apparel from the leader in sports merch and collectibles, Foco. If you're looking for that perfect gift for the baseball fan in your family, ready for opening day, oh, they've got you with hoodies to fight that Lake Michigan breeze at Wrigley. Check out Foco.com or click the link in the description below. For all non-presale items, use the promo code CHGO for 10% off. And Ryan, Game Time is the place you can still get tickets for opening day. That's key.
You can get your Foco and you can wear it to opening day, but you got to get your tickets through Game Time first. Game Time is the hottest new ticketing site that makes it easier than ever to score the best deals on tickets to sports, concerts, and shows. Ever dreamed of sitting in a seat you never thought you could? 50-yard line, courtside, behind home plate, floor seats at a concert? It's possible with the Game Time app. The biggest last-minute price drops can be found on the seats you thought you could never buy. You won't find better deals this season on Cubs tickets. Game Time is created by the fans for the fans. It guarantees the lowest price. If you love CHGO, then you'll love Game Time. The best way to support us is by buying your tickets through the link in the description. Join over 15 million people who have downloaded the Game Time app and score the best seats to all your favorite events.
By the way, have you hit the like button yet for Sierra Santos?
Yeah,
first segment.
Got 32.
She told us about how her Invisalign.
If not for us, do it for Sierra.
The drinking game she played last night. This was behind. You guys want behind the scenes stories? Those were behind the scenes stories. Now we're going to tell you about. We've been waiting for this too. We go through each position. Where do the Cubs rank? So far, we've seen improvement at first base for the Cubs this year. We've seen improvement where they rank second base this year. Now we go to shortstop where they made their big splash in the offseason, Dansby Swanson. So where does Dansby rank in the NL Central among shortstops? I say right at the top. the very top of the list. The Cubs have vaulted it. They had Nico. They were in a good spot at short. Mm-hmm. But now they've vaulted all the way to the top. So now you got three spots where they've gained ground on the division.
Well, he's certainly the highest paid of all the shortstops in the division.
Back-to-back days, our rankings and Delmetrics line up. Like,
right.
Incredible stuff.
Nico
at the top yesterday, and Dansby Swanson at the top for shortstops in this division. Then when you look down, you got O'Neal Cruz. I think that might be a little high. He's still got a lot to prove, but he's definitely have the highest ceiling, in my opinion.
Looks good.
I was going to say, I think Willy Adames has a case, honestly, to be the best shortstop in this division. Mm-hmm. Because I think he was that good after the Brewers got him in 21. A little bit of a down year last. I think he was hurt for part of it that affected him. But he's a really good player. I think he's a solid defender, a really good hitter. You know, he's one of those guys that Milwaukee's going to rely on for sure. But like I mentioned yesterday, how second base might have been, off the top of my head, the deepest position in the division. I'm thinking shortstop is far deeper now. Like that.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about it until I started putting the names down. I was like, this is better than second.
Yeah, I mean, look, Dansby Swanson was a six WAR player last year. So, I mean,
the top. I mean, All-Star, Gold Glove, like
World Series champion.
Kevin Newman's not a bad player to have at the bottom of the list, really. And Tommy Edman, I know Cardinals fans would like to see him at the top, but you're wrong. You're
wrong. He's at the bottom, according to Delmetrics.
He's at the bottom of he's near the bottom of Delmetrics. Yeah, he's number five. He's actually number six in some Delmetrics polls.
Yeah, I mean, he might be like off the list in Delmetrics polls. But you know, big of me to put him on the list. Credit to me for doing that.
Because you're a man of integrity.
Man of integrity. See, Luke, I understand you. You understand me.
That's right.
This is how CHGO Cubs is. Just so, on tune all the time. So, now, since, again, like I've said the last 2 days, Fangraphs won't allow Delmetrics as part of their rating system, we can't take it that seriously. So, yes, Tommy Edman. I think, if we can't use Delmetrics, I think Tommy Edman is, third or fourth probably is good. But I do think O'Neal Cruz is a little high based off the list that we – Or I
His
guess
potential is with. Just so high.
Yeah, the potential is very high for O'Neal Cruz. I like I said a couple days ago, I think the Pirates will be a little scrappy, a little feisty team, kind of like maybe the Cubs last year in terms of, like, they're not an easy out. They're not an easy team to beat. You know how many times that we watched that Cubs team last year that was not good, but then they sweep the Phillies twice and they beat the Mets late in the season, and like I don't know, it's just like weird shit that you didn't expect. Yeah. I feel like that's what the Pirates can be this year, because they do have a lot of young talent. Mm-hmm. And O'Neal Cruz is at the
top
of the
list.
It'd
be a really fun team, I think, to watch with some of those young guys they have.
I don't feel like the Pirates are going to be one of those teams that the Cubs can just go into Pittsburgh, or they come into Chicago and we sit here and we're like, oh well, you know, Pirates are here, they Cubs should win 2 or 3 at least. Yeah. I do think it will be good games at least, and hopefully the Cubs win most of those games, because if they don't, then they ain't making the playoffs. But O'Neal Cruz, the potential and the ceiling for him, I said it last year whenever I watched the first couple of games, it was like, this guy's going to be a Cubs killer for years to come. And I hate to say it, but it's
true. Until they trade him.
Yeah.
Until
maybe
they trade him, yeah.
Maybe to the Cubs.
So they
just
trade him.
Just for – I see Evo Wax's comment, Tommy Edman should be higher than fourth, Adames should be second, so I guess that means Tommy Edman should be third. I would
put Edman at third.
I was saying I looked at Zip's projections for this year. Dansby's projected a 5 WAR player on Fangraphs. Willy Adames is second. I think he was 4.7. Okay. Tommy Edman's third, right behind him. O'Neal's like in the mid three, so he's fourth. And then Kevin Newman might have hit one. I think he might have been a little bit below projected.
Right.
So those are projections. Obviously, you got to play the games. But the way Zips looks at it is that's the order. I think the O'Neal gets a little bit of a boost because of his potential.
Swag.
Yeah, but he also had his, like, kind of general struggle, you know, young player struggles last year. I think if we're sitting here right now, Adames and Tommy Edman probably round out the top three, with O'Neal Cruz obviously having the potential to quickly jump either of those.
Yeah, he probably has the best tools.
Yeah.
He might have one of the strongest throwing arms out of any position in baseball.
Yeah, like
what he does out of shorts, crazy.
I see the MLB account is always taking their chance to show off O'Neill Cruz throwing the ball from short to first base and how fast he's throwing it. And I think the latest one I saw, he was whipping it over there at like 94 miles per hour. This guy's like Franmil Reyes for that shortstop.
He's got
put him on the mound and let him pitch an inning when they're down 20.
Or as Dave Otto would say, he's got a hose. All he says, he's got a hose. All I know is this. That's three positions in a row where we believe the Cubs have gained ground on the division. That's what we're really looking for in these rankings. I don't care how you want to rank them after Dansby Swanson. Point is, the Cubs are at the top of the list. They were in that mix at second. We don't know about first base, but we definitely know that they've, on paper, made progress. It's going to be a little bit harder, the other positions. We start to go around. We've had three that have been good. Now can they continue that around the outfield? Where are they going to be at third base, catcher? We'll find out in the next couple days leading up to our preseason show, which will be Wednesday, right before opening day. And we'll continue it tomorrow with a bunch of them. But I like the way it's progressing. I like that we can at least look at it and say, I think they've gotten better against the division at a couple of spots. That's how you start winning more games.
Here, Cardinals friend Zach is in the chat.
Zach's back.
I said Edmonds war annihilates Swanson. According to Fangraphs, that's untrue.
Just well, the facts, Zach.
Yeah, they, you know, in St. Louis, they don't know much about numbers and shit. They don't know Delmetrics either. It's a shame. They should, you know,
in reality,
read a book.
In reality, the Cardinals cost Team USA a World Baseball
they did.
Classic championship.
They went 1-for-7 last
Mexico
night.
Also, too. Goldschmidt,
bases loaded. Mm. Thanks, Cardinals.
One for seven.
Gallegos.
I was going to say Mexico.
Gallegos.
Thanks, Cardinals.
Mexico.
Was not in the World Baseball Classic final.
Two-thirds in North America.
You just
blame the Cardinals.
Listen, I sat here and I said it. I said I'd root for Team USA and for all the Cardinal players to not do well. They didn't do well, but Team USA didn't win. So, and it was their fault. And that's my take.
Wait, you said that you were rooting for them to do well?
No.
I was rooting for Team USA, but not them.
Okay, I was going to say, you said Cardinals or Cubs over USA, right?
Yeah. Okay. It's over like overall.
Over
like I care about the Cubs more than I do rooting for Team USA. But as far as last night, when we talked about yesterday, I was like, okay, I'll root for Team USA, but I ain't going to be tweeting like, congrats to those guys.
Goldschmidt and Arenado yesterday combined 1-for-7, 5 runners left on base, 2 strikeouts.
Yeah. And no Lars Nubar, he's a creative player. He doesn't even exist. No I don't fun. Even know how he like is walking the earth. So,
Mike Dubs says no made up players, Zach. No made up players.
See?
Very good.
See? Dubs
great
knows.
Mike Dubs.
That's my guy, Mike Dubs.
He gets a free one. He gets a free mention for that one.
Yeah. Listen, when your name is Lars Nootbaar, I can't believe that you actually exist unless I see you with my own two eyes in person.
And Barb wants to know, are we live tomorrow? Yes, we will have a show, and we will be on tomorrow, Barb. 1:20.
Live.
Thursday. Live on YouTube. Also, later podcasts coming on Spotify and all your podcast locations. So, thanks to everybody. Thanks to Sierra for coming on the show. Thanks to everybody that was in the chat today. Especially Gerard with the $50 super chat.
Ooh, Gerard.
Wow.
You're the man.
Big bucks.
Animal. You're the man.
Animal.
And we will see you guys tomorrow, 1:20, right here on the CHGO Cubs podcast. Until then, full I the W.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.